Okay, and now for something very different also, although still in keeping with the diversity of this panel, but again, we're trying to substantively group them to some degree. The next paper continues with this theme of the focus on broader systems interventions and their critiques. And we have with us today Adam Gamwell and Matt Arts. Adam is a... multi-hyphenate. He's a design anthropologist, a public educator, and a science communicator. His research and consulting work spans technology, human-centered design, environment, conservation, and food and markets. His PhD in cultural anthropology from Brandeis University involves research and development of conservation for at-risk Andean crops like quinoa in southern Peru. And the goal of this research is to demonstrate the ways that multilateral actors like indigenous farmers, agronomists, chefs, and entrepreneurs draw together layers of knowledge, technologies, or techniques, materialities, and aspirations that shape the conditions of possibility for adapting to climate change, market trends, and biodiversity and food security. And his work is animated by an obsession. Pretty strong. All right. Obsession with creating and producing educational media, tools, and content for the public that empower people, expand social consciousness, and provide social impact. And he's the co-creator, host, creative director, and executive producer for This AnthroLife podcast, which is based in Boston. And in just under 5 years, they've produced over 100 episodes, a community of over 45,000 subscribers, and received over 100,000 downloads. Very impressive. And also presenting with Adam today is Matt Arts, and he's a matriculating applied anthropologist graduating from the University of North Texas in Plano in August. He'll be graduating in August of this year. He's worked in IT and software for the past decade at the intersection of product management, user experience, and design research. And in his current role, he leads research, design, and agile product management efforts to ship and scale web and mobile products in the enterprise and consumer space. He's had experience working in biotechnology, in healthcare, in financial services, in telecommunications, in entertainment, in fashion, in broadcasting, energy, and nonprofit worlds. And his thesis is titled An Ethnography of Direct-to-Consumer Genomics, Design Anthropology Insights for the Product Management of a Disruptive Innovation. And that work focuses on the diffusion and adoption of consumer genomics in the health space. So welcome to Adam and Matt.
Thanks. So as you can tell, we can't decide what we want to do with ourselves, so we do too many things. But I'm Adam.
And I'm Matt.
And so part of our obsession, I think is actually the appropriate word, is that we are indeed going to talk about podcasting and our work with This AnthroLife. And what we'd like to do is, this is a presentation, but we'll do it kind of like as if it's an episode of TAL, and we'll sort of talk with some notes, but sort of converse and think, and there's actually been some really great ideas shared back and forth that we could think with, too. But without further ado, we'll get started.
Yeah, so thanks, Kyron. Thanks to everybody else here. Thanks for the Society for Applied Anthropology. So as Adam was saying, we're going to sort of go off our notes, but it will keep it kind of loose, pretty much the same way we do the episodes, which is, a rough guide, but pretty much leaving space. And so to touch on the history briefly, so podcasting really, it starts in the early 2000s. We have decreasing IT costs, the rise of the internet, in terms of greater numbers of users on it. And you basically had people starting to create user-generated content, capturing audio in this case, transmitting it via the internet, typically by RSS, which is a technology that allows you to sort of push out content and also on the other side, and in a sense allows people to subscribe. And all of that came together probably in, around 2007, a little bit earlier, with the rise of iPods and then later smartphones, such as the iPhone. And it's really taken off since then. So there's some interesting economics related to podcasting in the sense that it's really changed kind of production and consumption of various types of media, in this case audio, but really, in a sense, pretty disruptive to terrestrial radio. And as a result of that, you really have this rise of almost anybody who can produce content now from talking about their pet to talking about, you know, business or, you know, what it means to be inclusive in education, as TL is often doing. And, you know, with that, you have this new dynamic of users who create content and other users who subscribe to it or listen to it really on demand. Lindman dubbed it the self-serve audio evolution, and it really is that from almost both perspectives, in that any user, again, can create and any user can listen pretty much whenever you want, wherever you want. You know, for me, I'm traditionally listening on my phone in the morning on the train going into New York. And other people listen while they are at the gym on the treadmill. You know, as from research we've done with listeners of TL, some people are listening in the car, some people listen while cleaning, but it's really all about creating content, you know, how you want, when you want, for listeners who also want to listen how and when they want. And so this has, as I say, with the rise of smartphones, has really taken off. And increasingly, you're hearing more people talk about podcasting. You're also increasingly seeing a large movement on YouTube of people vlogging. And, you know, there are really massive educational channels on there like Crash Course that are doing really great work outside of the podcasting space. But some research related on podcasting, and we found some other reports, and they're all sort of echo this, that you know, it's growing tremendously. In this survey from Edison Research, 2,000 people were surveyed, ages 12 and older, quite young, but nonetheless, 112 million listened to a podcast in 2017, 67 million listened monthly, and 42 million listened weekly. And they estimated somewhere between 21 and 24% growth year over year. So, you know, on a year over year basis, like these numbers show, and also like TAL has shown, you know, the growth is really substantial. I think in the beginning of 2017, what was it, about 4,000 users?
Yeah.
Right, and so now you hear the numbers now, right? So you're hitting almost an inflection point within podcasting where it's no longer just sort of, you know, slowly growing, but now we are really growing quite rapidly. And so as a result of that, there are, you know, there are opportunities and there are even challenges, you could say. The challenges today seem to be that not everybody is listening. So you have a relatively homogeneous group, 18 to 54, highly educated, typically full-time employed, and more on the side of affluent. And so as a result of that, while it's a medium that is can be inherently, or has the opportunity to be very democratic and very social, it's not necessarily that for everyone yet, though we believe it has the potential to be, and we want to see that trend continue and help that along.
Yeah, so our big question that we want to think about today and that we are framing this conversation around, right, is that we think of ourselves as impact-focused anthropologists and podcasters, and it's how can we work collaboratively to generate this kind of shared knowledge, and thinking of podcasting as Matt said, sort of a democratic, that is open to many kinds of voices and people that can produce them and who can listen to them. So how do we generate a form of shared knowledge together that we can use to shape sustainable futures? So our hypothesis, if we can have one as anthropologists, would be this, is that we think that we can leverage the medium of podcasting as a democratic and educational tool and a social technology. And specifically in this case, we want to talk about using it to address business problems by co-creating stories in the spirit of design anthropology. So we'll talk about how all these pieces fit together. To put this, though, just give a little context about who we are in this Anthro Life. So this was began in 2013, so we're actually coming up on our sixth birthday later this year, which is pretty cool. We began by three graduate students that we were all a little bit, maybe clinical students. We were a little tired of the, like, it being a purely academic enterprise of anthropology, and we found ourselves, like many of you may have done, at the bar after class, arguing over some theory of Marx's, you know, labor theory of value, and wondering why does it even matter, and realizing there could be more positive and impactful conversations that could be part of this. There's a reason that these theories exist, right? And so our thought was, we realized, well, why don't we start formalizing these conversations, put them into some sort of, you know, output. And then at this point, I don't know if anybody listens to Serial that was made by This American Life, but this hadn't yet come out, so podcasting hadn't quite blown up, as Matt pointed out. And so we didn't really know what we were doing, but then it seemed like a fun thing to do, so we started putting it out. And then Serial came out the next year, and things got big quickly, so we knew we were onto something. But our thought was this, really just to demonstrate the value of anthropological thinking and doing, using conversations, because that's often where you have, you know, some of the most impactful and transformative experiences with other people, is talking to them and sort of being interlocutors with one another. And so we thought about how do we have this in a way that these are not super scripted, they're not highly jargon-filled. We actually had a theory swear jar for a while. If you used a theory, you had to explain what it was, or pay $5. We never made any money, but the idea is but using conversations makes this a more open-ended and sort of more accessible, we hope, kind of conversation. We're thinking about this too, TAL is really, called This Anthro Life. Obviously, we borrowed from our friends This American Life. But our thing is really this sort of cross-cultural and time-spanning perspective on all things human. So we have covered things from beer and the rise of beer through history, to sleeping, to how people might use drugs, to religion, to sex, to change, to transnational movements, to everything we can think of. But what we've really have been moving towards, and Matt kind of joined us a couple years ago to start thinking more holistically about this business and applied focus, we wanted to move even beyond just having conversations to actually having more of an impact and thinking about what it means to do that. And so what we've done is thinking of this notion of co-creating knowledge, right? And this is where Matt and I both kind of came together through design anthropology. And so design anthro was kind of focused on this idea of co-creating knowledge and most importantly with all kinds of people. And that's really what we want to talk about today. And so one of the things that we've been doing over the past year is really focusing on these kind of business / design episodes, we'll call them. So we've had guests such as the Ontario College of Art and Design, its University Dean of the Faculty, Dr. Dori Tunstall, an awesome interlocutor, conversationalist, design anthropologist, done great work. We've worked with independent consultant and corporate anthropologist, Dr. Andy Simon, enterprise software and UX professional, Dr. Natalie Hansen, work practice specialist, Dr. Alexander Mack. That's just some of them, but these are people that are working in the field that are, they premise their work on having an impact, Actually, I'm really thinking between the idea of clinical sociology and design anthropology and how the names might work together, right? And so we wanted the idea of moving this to be more intentionally applied and in a practice-oriented thing. And so one of our thoughts about this, too, because having a conversation does not mean that something is applied, right? We're saying, we want to be applied, but it doesn't make it so, right? Unless you actually do it. And so working with these different kind of guests and thinking with them has really given us a focus on understanding what does it mean to actually work with people to co-create problems that matter to them, to understand what the problems they care about, and how do we sort of think of solutions together? So that's really been what this is about. And so our trajectory of moving, through having conversations to working with more applied people has then got us thinking about this notion of consulting podcasting. What if, kind of inspired by Sherlock Holmes as consulting detectives, what if we could put together this idea that what if we use podcasting as a sort of applied medium of conversation and thought to help people co-understand problems that matter to them and then think about solutions together?
So, building on that, we are using the medium both as, an applied concept in itself of how we're delivering the content, but also in how we think about developing the episodes, how we go about conducting the episodes. And all of that for us, or at least recently, is coming very much out of the applied design anthro space. Of course, there are other concepts related to business, human-centered design, design thinking, so on and so forth. Certainly, we're aware of them, take inspiration from them, find that there are overlaps, also find that there are differences. But nonetheless, take this sort of people-first approach that comes out of all of them and are trying to use that mindset to sort of guide this endeavor that we're on. And so there's a process that we're really looking to have a very participatory, multivocality concept to defining really the problem and the solution on air. And that's, defining, again, what is going to be the conversation. That is defining what, when we're talking about an actual business problem, what that is, what the solutions are, both from an emic and edic perspective, from our outsider perspective, as well as those perspectives of the participants that come on the air. And so that is the foundation for this model. And so really, it's public-oriented, focused on business conversations, using design anthropology as a lens to co-create meaningful conversations. We're trying to provide expert advice in the classic sense of what consulting means. And again, through both varying perspectives of our guests and ourselves to talk about the problems and solutions. So non-scripted, we pretty much are taking it, like today, kind of notes, but taking it as it comes, leaving room for it to sort of breathe in that sense. It's kind of like semi-structured interviews. You know, we have a guide, but we don't follow it rigidly. And, you know, it's all about really just the sort of openness for the guests to tell their story and for us to respond and have a real flexible, warm, open, meaningful conversation with them and really co-create this meta-narrative together.
Yeah, and so we kind of think that the value of this is that, you know, we are bringing sort of storytelling using cross-cultural competencies, and that's what anthropologists and sociologists and other social scientists are trained in doing. And so it's been really a fun practice so far over the past 5 years, and as we kind of build in this idea of, you know, making this even more applied or consulting, is to how do we bring these stories more full circle, that have other people with different cultural perspectives and ideas bring them into these. And so the code to this is we can, like, use rapid ethnographic methods that you might see using if you're doing user experience research, or other kinds of applied social science, and that we can make these sort of rapid, thick descriptions of business problems and their solutions in this case, drawing on, you know, anthro theories, sociological theories, or other theories of social change and methods that we are ingrained with since, you know, from the birth of our undergraduates to graduate schools, right? Even like, you know, starting from notions of emic and edic, right? Understanding how we, even thinking with an insider and outsider perspective at one of the most basic levels, right? And our thought of, and again, is do this in this sort of public and, you know, sort of a friendly way of doing a podcast as a sort of a conversational idea that feels both safe and allow, you know, get a little space to be a little experimental. I mean, some of the theories that we might think with, and just in a general, this is a broad sense, right, is that using sort of a holistic focus of anthropology, which could be either the four-field approach, as well as ethnographic thinking, and I'm thinking this term specifically, Jay Hasbrook has just written a great book called Ethnographic Thinking, that he actually uses as a reaction in a conversation with design thinking, and sort of how ethnographic thinking is a bit different, it's a bit more open in that it's premised a lot more on, you know, synthesis and analysis than it is about, like, honing in on one thing. So putting these together, it's a really great, you know, process of ethnographic and design thinking. But some of the other stuff that we're really good at doing as anthropologists and that ethnography is premised on is just gathering multiple narratives and not trying to get one aha thing, this is the correct moment, but how do we have space for more than one kind of voice? One of the things I think is most exciting, too, is that this is both descriptive and it's interpretive, right? So we can describe what's happening about the world in a situation, but interpret these results to find something that would be the most impactful. And then the idea is we're going to mold these different kinds of narratives into a multi-sided and context-rich story. And, of course, for collaborative understanding these problems and pass to solutions with people that we're working with. So just to wrap up real quick, the goal with this is really, in this case, as a consulting practice, would be to helping practitioners, organizations, and their stakeholders just learn to connect, to learn, and to innovate together using conversation, sort of uncovering these sort of unknown realizations and unmet opportunities. So what this is the conversations that we produce are both reflexive and prescriptive in this regard, and that we want to talk with our interlocutors and sort of understand their perspective, whether we're thinking about a specific business problem or trying to understand something like organizational change, or just I'm trying to understand how my clinic works, right? Or I'm trying to get how I work with my students in this system. And so by getting into conversation and kind of provoking a little bit, being a little improvisational, which I'll talk about in a second, we can find sort of unrealized, unmet needs and unknown opportunities. So to kind of wrap it up real quick, then this doesn't exist yet. And so I found what's most fun to think with is this notion of speculative fiction. And this is a method that comes from design fiction, design thinking a little bit. But there's two pieces that I'll leave us with to think with, and that one is that this notion of interventionist speculation. This is by Joachim Halsey and Laura Boffi, they're design anthropologists. And this is just a notion of blending techniques of invention with description. So at the same time as you describe something, we are inventing it too, and like not being afraid to sort of invent something as you talk to somebody about it. And so not only should we talk about what kind of issues you're working with, but let's brainstorm some solutions together. And then in a group, we might make up some more ideas, right? Also, if anybody's you do any film work or look at documentary stuff, the anthropologist and ethnographer and filmmaker Jean Rouge from the 1940s on did this really cool practice called ethnofiction, in which when he would be doing documentaries, and he's actually one of the first directors that used a handheld camera because they were filming in the Amazon and his camera fell in the water and all he had was a handheld camera, so they totally improvised and they had this like great river rapid scene that was not supposed to be river rapids, it just happened to be. His other camera broke. But so being okay with is sort of like taking what's on hand, what objects do you have, what ideas do you have, and so he would sort of blend together the days of facts and fiction in like both film his interlocutors, but then give them the camera and say, tell me what you want to film. Tell me what you think is important to see. And they would put these together, and so then it would be this kind of fact, fiction, dream, reality mix, and it was really quite compelling. So we're thinking with these two ideas and what podcasting as a consulting tool might be. So maybe we can speculate together, but that's where we are. But thank you all so much. Thanks.